Our speaker today, I met 5 years ago, give or take, at the beginning of the pandemic. I met him down when he was living in Australia. He came to one of the meetings that I go to on a regular basis, and he's been coming ever since to those meetings and these meetings. And I appreciate the fact that he showed up because I've had the opportunity to talk to him both in meetings and outside of meetings and had some really good discussions. I appreciate the fact that he's here. He just celebrated a little bit ago. I will let him tell you what he needs to tell you about his recovery. Without further ado, Russell, would you share with us?
Hey, good day.
Good day.
Russell Addict, I have
Hi,
the disease.
Russell.
Hi,
Hello,
Russell.
Russell.
Oh.
I have the disease of addiction. And because of this program, I'm able to live harmoniously with it most of the time. And that is a gift. Because the program allows me to live with many opposing forces which are necessary for harmony to occur. It allows me to live life in the community with what time I do spend out there, which is not great because of the health issues that I have. And it allows me to live with the health issues that I do have. And still enjoy life. It's been an absolute gift, recovery. At the beginning of each day, I give thanks for the gift of life for today in recovery and peace and harmony within myself and with my fellows. So that brings in both the steps and the traditions because harmony within myself, the competing stuff of the mind, the body, emotion, and energy, which I need to notice, and I need to be able to respond. If it's an internal issue, and does not relate to the rest of the world in terms of how I relate with the rest of the world, then it stays with the steps. Frequently, though, it relates with the outside world, how I relate with the outside world. So I've got, when I think, give thanks to God for the gift of life for today in recovery and peace and harmony within myself, that's the business of the steps. And with my fellows, that's the business of the traditions. And it's the intersection of those two that I need to be able to discern what is and is not my business. And where I'm going to focus the energy that I have, that is essential to my recovery. It is essential for me to be able to discern what is and is not my business. When I fail, nothing. There is no such thing as failure in this program. What there is a deviation from the ideal. And when I deviate from the ideal and become engaged in things that are not my business, it leads to all sorts of trouble for me and maybe others and grandchildren who I have the privilege of being with. They live just up the hallway with my son and his wife. And don't forget the four-legged barrel, the dog. He knows what his job is, to catch treats and drive people around the twist if I let him and if others let him. He's very persistent. The beauty of that dog, I don't particularly like dogs. I don't particularly dislike dogs. They're dogs. He's an interesting animal. He tells me lots about me and how I relate with that dog, the same as how I relate with people. See, I don't do relationships. Relationships are a minefield for one simple thing. Relationships imply and bring with them expectations. And it's expectations that take me away from the moment where life actually is happening and can lead me off into all sorts of aspects of the disease in life, and my life with others. I came to the stuff around so-called relationships over many years. And I finally worked to a point where I could see that I brought expectations, and so did the other parties. And our expectations weren't necessarily overt. Not only were they not overt from either side, they were, because they're undisclosed, because they go unrecognized by all parties, it's a recipe for conflict. Now, I'm not frightened of conflict. Because this program has equipped me through step one and the rest of the steps, and particularly step one, because they have a particular way of going through step one every morning. I go through all the steps first thing in the morning after I've given thanks for the gift of life for today. And when I go through step one, there's a key element in unmanageability. And it's the conflict cycle, which I can enter at any time. Victim, persecutor, and rescuer. I can take on any of those three roles at any moment. And I can switch between them. That creates conflict. But over time, I've come to, instead of being a victim, when my recovery is in the ascendancy, that I'm a learner with others. I'm a co-learner. I learn from situations, both with people and with the general environment. And I learn from it with others. If I'm playing the victim, not only do I disempower myself, but I'm setting myself up to change to the persecutor if I'm in the conflict cycle. If I'm not in the conflict cycle, and I'm in the learner's process, I can be an advocate for learning with others for mutual benefit from a situation. Then, if I've been the victim and I've gone to the persecutor, and then I say, oh goodness, I've gone over the top, I've got to go rescue the situation. And any rescuer is setting themselves up for persecution or victimhood. And so around the cycle it goes again. Alternatively, I can be a co-facilitator with others of learning for mutual benefit. So instead of victim, persecutor, rescuer, I can become a learner with others, an advocate for learning with others for mutual benefit, and a co-facilitator of learning with others for mutual benefit. It's a collaborative model. It's the, in another dimension from the conflict process. And this is where I've got to with it. And so if I come into a situation with an expectation that things are going to go a particular way, and I bring my bag of expectations, doesn't mean you bring the same expectations, doesn't mean we've divulged them to each other. So we have a recipe for unmanageability, not and continuing conflict. And another aspect of recovery that comes with that is the possibility of compassion. It's the two dinner plates upside down on a table. The left-hand plate, that's you with your stuff or whoever else it is. The right-hand plate is me with my stuff. Compassion occurs when the two plates come together. Can we collaborate on our mutual interest and how we're going to go about things? If we can, we have an overlap. And in that overlap, I can be compassionate. I allow you to have your stuff. I allow myself to have my stuff. And we now have a shared space where we can have our stuff. And in that space, There may be the most overused word possibility in this program. Love. Love can take place in that shared space, that compassionate space. That compassionate space, though, does not have to mean love. It can be just straight negotiation, business, whatever, transaction. But if it's got to go beyond transaction, it needs to have love. That element will emerge. And it can only emerge if I allow you to have your stuff and I allow me to have my stuff. I use the word love very sparingly. I do not understand this thing. We'll love you back to life. I love you all. Unconditional love. Not for me. So I'm very careful. Even guarded around the use of the word love. I don't love you all. I appreciate in the moment that we're together, I appreciate you and me being together. And if we can't be together, I can still appreciate you in that moment. But it doesn't mean I have to love you. It doesn't mean I do love you. I just do not understand, in my experience, love, 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 love you all, love you, love this, love that. That's not my experience. The beauty of this program is it allows me to have that. It allows me to be me. It allows me. More than allows, it provides the basis for the living in the unknown. With a sense of harmony and equanimity. Forget about serenity. Serenity, maybe. That's a benefit. Equanimity for the unknown and for what's going on, where things are not anything but ideal, to maintain evenness. Sometimes I'm okay with that. And sometimes I miss it. I miss the state of being equanimous. That is a reality because I, in my disease, will impose suffering on myself through the expectation of getting things right. Whatever right is. It's that stuff of perfectionism, that expectation of perfectionism. The story I tell myself about the need to get things perfect stop me from living. in the present. They rob me of nothing. I rob myself of the present moment, appreciation of what's going on in the present moment, all robbed by me. The time thief, stealing time from life, my life, and the life that I have with others, because I'm not actually present. I'm living a story that's an old story. I'm not actually living now by imposing perfectionism. Perfectionism is self-abuse for me. And if I impose perfectionism on other people, my ideal of perfectionism on other people, I am being abusive. And again, we're back to expectations. Where do these expectations come from? Culture, society, the nurture process from the time of conception, in utero. So what am I going to do now to come into the present?
That these clothes have been a box of funding and the meaning of what happened.
So what am I going to do about now to come back into the present? I need to be able to observe my body, the physical body, the mental body, the emotional body, and the energy body, in a good starting place. What's my breath doing? What am I doing with my breath? How am I breathing? What's the nature of the muscle tension within? What thoughts am I having? Am I clinging to those thoughts? Am I attached to an outcome? Again, expectation. It is so critical for me to be able to notice what's going on with me. Not about my perception of what's going on with anyone else. I've got to start with me. And to be able to bring back in the moment. And this is where the step one is so, so creative, so liberating. Step one is a step of liberation and opportunity. Because if I know what I'm powerless over, I can be empowered by focusing where I do have power. And maybe I better start with me. Not maybe. I need to start with me. Step one brings back into focus the focus on me. It's the opportunity. It's the step of empowerment. I know what I'm powerless over. I can focus where I do have. Instead of focusing on, I'm powerless over this, I'm powerless over this, I'm powerless, powerless, powerless. Yes, the disease of addiction I have. I'm powerless over my addiction. But there's lots of other areas where I do have power that are unrecognized if I sit in my disease. And if I try to force it away. the stuff of being able to have consciousness, focused consciousness, which is awareness, acceptance, which is always limited because I can't see everything, and to take inaction and pause, and then surrender. Surrender is not enough. I need to adopt and utilize the program for daily living, not writing answers to questions framed by somebody else in a book. I need to be able to have consciousness, awareness, acceptance, take in action, and surrender to the process and adopt the process of the program in the moment to the situation. Now, that's an ideal, to be able to do that. Do I get it all the time? No. Where the problem comes for me, or where the opportunity comes for me, is how to live it in that moment and recognize there is no failure. It's a learning process. Am I open to learning from what happens? It's a 12-step fertilizer program. It turns the shit that's in me into the feedstock for growth through the 12 steps and traditions. Because I don't live in isolation from the rest of the world. I do live in a lot of isolation, physical. I don't live in isolation in my head. The disease loves that. So I need to be able to have a collective of others who are living the program as part of integral to their life. One of the other things that can, when we have meetings, people chant away at the end of the meeting, it works if you work it. Bullshit. It works if I live it. It's a big difference. It also brings in the stuff of being and living. Two different things for me. What is my state of being? Not just living. And that's where I need to be able to observe the mental, the physical, the emotional, the energy systems within me to get to my state of being. And then to take that as a basis for relating to how I live harmoniously within myself and with others. To be harmonious in conflict within myself. To have equanimity in a conflict situation, because conflict is part of my life. It's part of life. I do not wish to run from conflict. And most of all, I don't wish to run towards it. Don't wish it'll turn up. It will just turn up as part of life. And the program equips me for that. To live in the unknown, not to live in fear. Fear of the unknown. As part of my routine daily, I chant as part of my daily routine. Daily routine is absolutely essential ingredient to recovery for me, to living in recovery, to living. I have a particular process for the day. I've been doing it for some years. I did it even when I was working. I did it when I was not working. I do it in retirement. I do it if I'm in the hospital bed. I do it if I'm in an emergency room. Doesn't matter where it is. I utilize it to start the day. You haven't eaten your breakfast? As they chuck a thing in my ear to try and take my temperature. You haven't eaten your breakfast? No, I haven't. I'm not ready for it. And don't take it away. I'll eat it when I'm ready. That'll upset the kitchen. Well, I don't eat on demand if I'm in a hospital situation. And the same thing goes for wherever I am. I need to be in the moment. I need to be present. And I need that base routine. It's not a thing of a millstone, it's a platform for freedom in each day. That is something that has evolved. I've had a very similar routine for today because it evolves. My process evolves, it's not fixed. It does include prayer. Does include chanting. It does include physical exercise. It does include yoga. It does include meditation. That is absolutely essential for me. And nobody can take that away. In my 60s, I became homeless. Winter was approaching. The aged place, independent aged living place that I had bought a license to live in till my the day I stopped breathing. There was a change in the laws. In their wisdom, our great leaders decided to privatise aged care in the country I came from. And so it became profit maximisation. And they were doing up the place next door to mine, and they filled my place with dust. Now I have allergy and breathing issues. So I finished up on the street. Even though I had a place to live, I couldn't live in it. So I went to the hospital. And they said, "Well, you're breathing all right here. Get out." So they put me out on the street. There are a series of events that took place. And I finished up in a locked facility. In a room with five other men. I was there four. I was the fifth. And this was all new. And talk about noise. And after the first night, the manager of the place came to me and said, "Did you get any sleep last night?" I said, "Well, it was an interesting night. It was very noisy. I didn't get a lot of sleep." And they said to me, "If you can get up at a particular hour each day and early," I think I started my day at 4:30. Because they put me in the recreation room. So I've got this huge recreation room that I'm in. On TV, I just had to be awake and ready to go at 4:30 in the morning to begin my routine. If not earlier, 4 o'clock preferably. And then they would shift my bed back to where I, so they would, I would climb in the bed and they would wheel me down the passageway and put me back where my bed space was. And then they came to me after a few days and they said, "Look, this is a locked facility. We've been watching you. And we're quite happy to allow you to go out during the day. You just need to tell us when you're going." And so I would walk. And this is where meditation comes. It's so, so powerful. Routine becomes so powerful. I could still carry the cameras that I, or the camera that I used, the equipment that I used. I had the strength to be able to do that those days. I had my camera with me. And the camera had to be given to the administration when I went into the place because they didn't want photos taken. And during the day, I'd eat. And then I would go out and I would walk. I'm walking. I still do a lot of walking. I don't walk as quick as I used to. I don't walk as far as I used to. But walking can not but, and walking is a meditative process. And it's one of observing. And it took some, I noticed things. And this is what this program gives me the capacity is to see. And to see things differently, and in learning to see differently, I see different things. And I took some very interesting images during that period. So, again, it's about coming to grips with what is. No bullshit. It's not about coming to grips. It's about being with what is. If I'm coming to grips with what is, language is so important. I mean, exerting energy that I don't need to exert. And I'm in conflict just through the language. And noticing when I was saying grips, noticing the change in me when I mentioned the word grips. Language is so important. Voice is so important. And this program gives me the capacity to observe my voice, to observe the words. When I'm in the moment, to observe the words that I'm about to roll off my tongue. Because once the words are out there, they're out there. Can't suck them back up. And when words are said without consciousness, it's a recipe for conflict that is not necessary. Not all conflict is necessary. Not about avoiding conflict, it's about noticing. And the stuff of the filter that I have today, hopefully, not always, is different to the filter that I arrived with. Because my first 10 years, people talk about, oh, wonderful, 10 years, oh, recovery, oh, bullshit. That was not my experience. The first 10 years was up and down, up and down, up and down, up and down. Very little evenness. Very little equanimity. And I didn't know what was at the root of it. But here I am, I'm still coming to meetings and because I got here via Al-Anon, into AA and then here. And in that first 10 years, I was a mess. And it was at 10 years, my childhood abuse was revealed to me. Just came up bang through a situation where I was abused in the workplace by somebody who was similar to my abusers, same sex, same control games, and so on. And I went under. 10 years into recovery and I'm in the corner of a room in the fetal position for 3 months. Welcome to recovery, young Russ. The beauty of this program was, is, and continues to be that I was put in that situation. That experience at that time. And I was sent for psychiatric help. And I was very fortunate. Through the doctors that worked with me. And I had a team of people. I had a physical therapist, massage therapist, not somebody you go down to at the local centre who's burning incense and you pay your money. No, this was somebody who knew their stuff, bodywork stuff. And I was working with a GP. And I was working with a psychologist and a psychiatrist. And I say with, not under, with, collaboratively. And so they went through how I got up in the morning. How I utilize my time. How I stay in a moment. exercise, yoga, food, the lot. When I went to bed, when I got up, I was reprogrammed. And I still utilize that stuff today with the way that I get up. It's liberating. It provides the basis for being present and in the day. Combine that with the program, and it's the basis for living, for being and living. It was not a happy time. Happiness is overrated. Happiness is absolutely overrated. It's just part of life sometimes, and it's fleeting. It comes and it goes, and sadness comes and goes, and grief comes and goes. Celebration comes and goes. I can't hang on to it. Because the situation, the environment, everything is changing continuously. And for me to keep equanimity, I need to be aware of that. I need to let go of the idea of certainty. And again, it comes back to consciousness, awareness, acceptance, inaction, surrender to the program, process of the program, and adopt the steps and the traditions into my life. There's a big difference between acceptance and adoption. Oh, I accept this, I accept that. Somebody's making an offer. There's an offer. Do I accept it? But to adopt is a different thing. Adoption of the steps in daily life. It's part of life.
Yeah, I accept it's a good idea.
So what?
I wrote answers. I've officially completed this step.
Oh, go away. I've never seen an official NA stamp between somebody's eyes on their forehead. And I hope I never will, because it'll be a forgery. Would you buy an official stamp from this person? I need a sense of humor in here as well. And I need the sense of discernment. And I need to be able to not only discern, I need to be able to act or take inaction. And I need to recognize the stories I tell myself. Because the stories I tell myself will affect my beliefs and my actions and consequences. And that process of the first 10 years brought me to face the stories I'd been telling myself, how life was, how I lived life. And that came from the time I came from conception. Through the nature and nurture process. in DNA terms, I was a sitting duck for addiction because of my genetic inheritance. In nurture terms, I was a sitting duck as well. I have never had another attack of complex PTSD since the time I worked with that psychiatrist, that bodywork person, the psychologist, and the GP. They set me up with a routine for daily living, consistent with the steps and the traditions. And so, routine is not a millstone. People say, "You're very disciplined." Bullshit. It's not about discipline, it's about what works for me. And the process of the steps and traditions, the full set, the full suite of steps and traditions work for me in daily living and enhancing life, quality of life of myself and others. Do I go to meetings? Yes, I do. I go to virtual meetings. What bullshit? They're meetings. What's this virtual bullshit? They're meetings. When I was really crook with the chemotherapy for 2.5 years and the period after, I didn't go to meetings. Fear. It was as simple as that. What people did who, and this is the value of having a support network of mutual co-learners. They reached in, they said, "You know what, you're not able to get to meetings. We will set up a phone network where we will bring the meeting to you." There were many days, years, in which I did not go into the outside world, and the outside world did not come into my living space except if it was medical. The only time I went out was at night when there was no one around, and then I would come back in. I was never alone because of the program. People reached in, set up a network for me. With me. And that network still operates today. Membership has changed. That's long-term stuff. I cannot afford to be dependent on one person. Yes, I've had sponsors. Now I have a network of co-learners. Thanks for letting me share. I have no idea how long I've been sharing, other than it must be about time. So let me have a look at the clock. Yep, there you go. Thanks for the privilege of having me here.